All right, so we've been looking at a series called Hearing the Voice of God for the past 6 or so weeks. And today we're going to round that series up. And what I've called today, which is like the last part, is what next? What next? We've spent quite a lot of time just describing how, in a very simple manner, how God speaks to us. We've looked at the fact that the Bible says that God speaks to every individual. But the challenge is that we often think that God speaks in a way that is very dramatic all the time. But that's not always the case. In fact, in most cases, God doesn't speak dramatically. Sometimes we think that, well, it's only prophets, apostles, and, you know, people who are very, in quotes, spiritual that God talks to. So we looked at that and we said that, look, it's just like you having your children and you're a parent. Your kids are maybe 1, 2, or 3 years old. You're always going to be excited to talk to them. Even if at 1 year old, they don't really understand what you're saying. You're just there, you're just waiting for their first word. And you're hoping that maybe they'll say mommy if you're the mom, or they'll say dad, so you can brag and say the first word that they spoke was dad. So what we've looked at over this past 6 weeks is that God speaks to us. It's just that we often do not realize it. Do you understand? And he really wants to speak to us, and he's speaking all the time. So we've looked at all that in great detail. If you want the recordings, just let us know and we'll send them to you. So this morning, I just want to look at three areas to round up what we've been speaking about. So I'm saying, what next? Where do we progress from here? Because we don't want to theorize these things that we've listened to. We don't want it to be, okay, well, God speaks, but it's not happening in my life. So the first thing that we're going to be looking at is this. Like I said, three areas today. Why should I even bother about God speaking to me? So that's the question. Why should I bother? Why should it concern me? Why should I try and make the effort? What use is it going to be to me? At least I've lived this far and I think I've done quite all right. So what's the big deal? Why does God need to speak to me? Or why should I even be trying to hear God's voice on a consistent basis? So there are a number of reasons that I can give. I can give you loads and loads of reasons, but I'm going to give us just two reasons today. Very simple reasons that even the children that are here as well can latch onto it. So it's not just for people who are adults, but for everyone. So the first one is for friendship. God wants us to speak, he wants us to hear his voice for friendship. If you look at John chapter 15 and verse 15, John chapter 15 and verse 15, it says, Jesus was saying here, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So, God wants us to hear his voice for friendship. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything dramatic or life-changing. The same way in the morning you want to talk to your children, the same way when they go to school, you're waiting for them to come back and you're like, how was school today? Nothing extraordinary, nothing out there, just regular friendship. God wants to have the same with us. And in the scripture we've read here, John 15, 15, it says, look, I no longer call you servants, but friends, telling us that, look, there's the place where we serve God in the context of the church. We do different things in church. You might be a pastor, usher and all that. That's fine. But he now says, look, there is something that is dearer to my heart more than you doing things for me. It is the place of friendship. That's what Jesus said here. And You know, I remember that for me, there are times that, I mean, I've gone through a lot, but I smile a lot, and a lot of these things don't bother me. But for me, this is such an important part. I remember there was a time that I was going through, like everything around me was just like very challenging. And this was really weird for me. I would be sitting down at home, and it's as if God would just come and sit down beside me and put his arm around me and just whisper in my ears. I would open the Bible to read the Bible, and God during that time was just speaking to me all the time. And what was he telling me? He was telling me, look, Pastor B, relax. Pastor B, I've got this. Pastor B, you're going to be okay. So nothing like, oh, there's a war in China and all that. No. And it was as if God was right there beside me as my friend. Do you understand? So there are times that we might be going through stuff, and it's not even necessarily when we're going through stuff. The fact that God is there as our father and as our friend on a daily basis makes a big difference. It makes a big difference to your heart, to your soul. It can bring calmness to you. Do you understand? So for friendship, just for friendship, for nothing extraordinary to start with. So still on the first part, why should I want to hear God speak with me? The second one I'll look at this morning is for guidance. I'll read Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Now, in terms of hearing God speak to us, I'm going to keep it at a very individual basis, like I mentioned, where every single one of us can apply it. I remember just a simple example. So my daughter here, she started uni 4 weeks ago, all right? And while she was applying to uni, she was saying, by the way, I mentioned to her this morning that day, I'm going to talk about you a bit, so do I have the permission to do that? So she said yes. You know, so from a GDPR perspective, I have a permission. But I said, you know, I don't really talk about stuff that's personal anyway. Anyway, so she said, when the application thing started, she said, Dad, I want to go to York. And York is like 4 or 5 hours away from here. No problem. You know, her brother is in uni as well. He's at Brighton, so he's gone a long time. So I said, York, okay, no problem. But I just knew that maybe that's not really where, you know, but obviously you can't just say, go here. You know, it doesn't work that way. So I said, well, no problem. Anyway, as we were now going, as she was doing all that process, in my mind, what I was praying for is, I said, God, you know how dear this girl is to me. I don't think I've told her that. I said, God, you know how dear this girl is to me. Whatever university she goes to, then I started listing some things. I said, simple things. I said, God, please give her good friends. And I'm like, oh, Pastor, isn't that such a, won't that happen automatically? It doesn't happen automatically. Because I've heard of people who've gone to uni here in, you know, in England, and it's like they absolutely hated it. They could, in fact, some of them withdrew from uni because they just couldn't stand it. So I said, God, please give her good friends. You know, people who, you know, and I now said, mentioned some other things, and I left it at that. So when the exam results came out, she didn't get into York on that morning, well, when the exams came out. So it was now like, okay, where is this girl going to go to? And I remember that we were driving down the motorway, and as she was like, Dad, where do I go to now? You know, where do I go to now? Where do I apply to now? And in my mind, as she was saying that, I was already praying. I said, God, where? You know, we need to make a choice today. And suddenly, I saw 3 unis. We'll look at how that happens, man. I saw 3 unis. I said, dear, you can try this one. Try this one, but really is Reading. And the thing was, you know, for Reading as well, you know, the grades and all those things, it was like, you know, slightly high as well for what she wanted. She was like, would they take me? Blah, so on and so forth. I said, irrespective, do you get what I mean? Apply there this morning. And she did. And I think she was a bit surprised. And they just straight away, they gave her the thing. So what am I saying here? So now she's at Reading. Then she now said, okay, Dad, so I'm like, okay, so weekends and all that, are you going to be coming home and stuff like that? She said, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. I said, no problem. I said, okay. Anyway, so what am I saying here? It's not a big deal. I mean, we could pick any university in England. But how about if God helps you to pick the one that you should go to? Do you understand what I mean? So what am I saying here? There are things that we might ask our neighbor, that we might ask our friend, what should I do here? What's the best choice to make in this place, in this situation? And we should. But there is someone who is right there beside you, who knows all things, and he can guide you. Do you understand? In the simplest things. Do you understand? So, we're looking at the first part. And the first part I'm looking at here is, why should I want to hear God speak to me? Why? What's the big deal? And I've said for friendship and for guidance. So the second part I want to look at this morning, we're looking at 3 parts. What are some of the ways that God speaks to us? How does God speak to us? I believe we looked at that extensively over the past, during one of the series past few weeks ago. But I'm just going to summarize some. And you know what I tell people is this. From my perspective, God is really not as complicated as we make him out to be. I'm telling you, he's not as complicated as we make him out to be. Now, what I mentioned as well a few weeks ago was that there are times that we might think, oh, there's this important matter in my life. Nobody should call me for the next 7 days. I'm going to pray and fast for 7 days till God speaks. And you can do that. You should, if you want to. But it doesn't have to be like that. Obviously, there are times that you have like a really big decision to make and you want just to give yourself space. Yeah, you can, you know, you're encouraged to do that. But we should not premise us hearing God on those things we do. You know what the difference is? So it's like, for example, right? Let's say, I'm in a marketplace. In a noisy marketplace, there's stalls all over, and someone calls me on my phone, and I'm trying to listen to their voice. I'm like, oh, this place is too noisy. Do you understand? I will call you back. Do you understand? Then I say, I will call you back in 2 hours when I get home. So when I get home, I go to a quiet room, and when I'm in a quiet room at home, I'm not longer in that noisy place. I now ring them. I'm like, oh, I couldn't hear what you were saying. Now I can talk. Do you understand? That is the same thing with when you want to fast to hear the voice of God. You're not fasting because if you don't fast, God is not going to ring your line. If I can use that analogy. Do you understand? You're only taking out time to fast or to go to a quiet place so that you can leave all distractions, all those noisy things that, you know, like in the marketplace that keep you like distracted. So the distinction here is this. When we do those things fast and we pray, it's not so that God can dial our number. No. God's already dialing your number. It is so that we can be in a state where we can listen more. Do you understand what I mean? So why am I making this point? I'm making this point to say that, look, we should not confuse the things that we do to give us clarity. We should not confuse those with thinking it is those things that make, that cause God to speak to us. It's just like a child. Do we tell our children, I'm not going to listen to you today until you have... We don't do that. Do you understand what I mean? Now, why am I taking this route? I'm taking this route and I'm explaining it this way because God has simplified everything to the point that even children can hear God's voice. He says, do not keep the children. So God makes it in such a way that even if you're a child, you can hear him. Do you understand? So I'm saying God doesn't want us to overcomplicate things. Do you get what I mean? He doesn't. Now, so having said that, we'll look at some of the ways in which God speaks to us. And like I said, these are things that we can do straight away, or maybe things that we're doing. Now, the first one, I'll look at maybe three or four. The first one is through reading the Bible. Through reading the Bible. But I'll explain what that, how that works, at least for me, in a minute. John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. He says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. John chapter 6, verse 63. The B part, the words that I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. This is the simplest, easiest way with that, by which God speaks to us. Now, what do I mean by as you read the Bible? Do you know that there are people who are professors of the Bible, professors of the New Testament, professors of the Old Testament, and they're not born again. They don't even know God, but they can quote and recite the Bible by heart. But they're just doing it from an academic perspective. All right? That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about reading the Word of God with your heart. Let me give you an example. I'm not quite sure a lot of you will be able to relate to this unless you're above 45. If you're below that, don't worry. I'll explain what I'm about to say to you. Now, back in the days, there are no emails. And I remember then that while I was younger, if you wanted to, in fact, no emails, the phones that we had then were these big phones, and oh my goodness, you had to do, so if you wanted to communicate with your friend who was in another country, you had to write something called a letter. I passed a bit, letter? What are you talking about, letter? Email? No, like letter, not even typed, like write a letter, fold that letter and take it to the post office and post that letter. That it will now be posted to whatever country. The person will now receive that letter, open the letter, read it, reply you, then post it back. A couple of weeks later. If you're fortunate, you get the letter, depending. So that was how communication was in those days, right? The people that are smiling at the back, they're like, what is Pastor talking about? Don't worry, I'll explain to you later. So, why am I using this analogy here? So, let's assume that someone writes me a letter, right? I open that letter. Maybe it's my friend that I haven't seen in for years from secondary school. I read that, I open that letter, and I'm like, he now tells me, what's happening to you? I heard that you're a pastor now. How are things there? And as I'm reading that letter, what am I doing? I'm reading it with expectation, with a sort of inquisitiveness, a sort of like, I'm reading this letter because I want to find out how this guy is doing. That's one scenario. After I've read that letter, I put the letter on the table, right? And I'm excited. My daughter comes into my study and she says, oh, Dad, what's this? I'm like, it's a letter, my dear. She reads the letter through and says, oh, okay. And she moves on. What's the difference here? It's still the same letter. It's still the same content. But for me, I have read that letter with an expectation that, wow, this is my friend communicating to me. And my daughter, not that she has done this, I'm just using it as an analogy, my dear. My daughter just picks it up and she's read the words, well, just from an academic perspective. So when I'm saying, wow, my friend wrote this, do you know what my friend was asking me? She might be looking at me as like, hang on, what's that excited about? This is, you know, what's the big deal here? Why am I using this analogy? I'm using this analogy because we can read the Bible like God is writing something directly to you. And what happens is this. As you're reading the Bible, something will begin to happen to you. There are certain things that will pop out of the Bible. And it will seem as if it's you that God is talking to, even though the Bible is talking about something else. At that point, that is where the Bible begins to speak to you. Do you understand? That is where, and how, that's how the Bible begins to speak to you. I remember that for me, I mean, for example, yesterday, I was just thinking about a lot of things. And I said, I'm just going to read. So I was just reading the Bible in the morning when I woke up. And there were some things I've been thinking about. I was like, God, man, I've been just so busy all these weeks, all this and all that. Then I was reading the parable of the sower. That was Mark chapter, I think, 4 or 5. And as I was reading the parable of the sower, I mean, guy goes out to sow seed. What God began to show me then was that he said, look, he said, Pastor B, you need to take things easy and begin to, all these things you want to do, just do them in little bits and pieces. And like a seed, this will begin to happen. This will grow into this. This will grow into this. But just start little by little. Now, what does it have to do with the parable of the sower? Do you get what I mean? It was God using the Bible to speak to me. So as you wake up in the morning or whatever time, pick up the Bible and just begin to read. Read with the expectation that God is going to say something to you. Do you understand? And that way, you'll be quite surprised. Now, I'll just go through some of the other bits as well. The second part, which is not really all the time. The Bible one we can do every morning, and that's something that we can do. Now, the other way that God speaks to some people is through dreams. Now, if I read Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. There are some people that when they sleep, I mean, God just speaks to them in dreams. That doesn't happen to me a lot. It's just once in a while. I remember about 2 months ago, I parked my car somewhere on a Sunday. And my intention was that, okay, I parked my car there, but I'm going to go back, pick up the car, and bring it back home. Do you understand what I mean? And I totally forgot. Because I work from home, when it hits Sunday night, I don't have to go anywhere to the next Sunday, which is church, because I work from home. So I just forgot about the car where I parked it. I thought it just shows you that, man, this pastor guy, you don't go anywhere at all. But I've started to change that. I said, from next week, I'm going to be going out every day to maybe the gym or something, but remind me. Anyway, going back to that story. So this was like the last Sunday. It was now like a Friday, and I slept. And when I slept, I had a dream. And it was quite unusual the way this dream happened, because I felt as if I was, I don't know how to explain it. I was in that dream. It was like a film. I felt like I was really there. I was like, this is weird. And in that dream, do you know what happened? I went to one place and I parked my car. And I went back there and the car wasn't there. I was not like, what has happened to my car in that dream? Then someone in that dream, I was now asking someone in that dream, where's my car? Did someone, you know, take my car and all that? I can't find it. And I woke up. I said, that's quite an interesting dream. Ah, by the way, I need to go and pick up my car from where I left it. Oh my goodness, I hope they haven't ticketed me in Bristol. You know, they're notorious in Bristol. And I just, you know, took an Uber and I went to where I parked the car. Behold, the car was not there. And that's never happened to me. My thought was like, has someone stolen my car? And I was thinking, oh, man, I don't have money to buy another car now. That was okay. I said, I don't have any money to buy any other car. I have to. Then I now remember that, hang on, I had a dream about this. They haven't stolen your car. Call, you know, these people that stole your tow cars away. So I did that. I'm like, oh, you left your car there. It's been towed. I said, oh, this is not. So what am I saying? In that instant, God prepared me a bit in the dream to say, hang on, Pastor B, this is what's happened. But for me, I didn't know. There are people that when they dream, they know that, okay, this is what God is saying. It doesn't happen to me a lot. For me, it's the Bible part. The last one I'll talk about here is what I called inner vision. Inner vision. Now, let me read Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. So this is the last one I'll talk about, then we'll look at one or two things in the third part. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and the answer I am about to give to this complaint. So the third one is what I call inner vision. And sometimes it is part of the gifts of the Spirit, like word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And that's something that we can all pray for, and God will just give it to you, very simply. Now, the way this works, and this is one that works for me quite a lot, is I might be praying about someone or something, and God will just show me like in a second, like a flash or an image. Or we might be in church like this, and maybe we're praying, and God shows me a flash image about someone. So it's like a mini vision in your mind. And you now be able to see that, okay, this is what God is saying about this. And it's like an image, and you're able to interpret what that means. Do you get what I mean? So that happens quite a lot sometimes. I remember there was once we were, I think I give this example, we're in church like this, and we're praying. And I just saw someone like in a flash. That person, I didn't see the person's face. All I saw was that they were holding their right jaw, which meant they had like a toothache or something. And I just saw that, and we're praying, and we're like, oh God, you know, that person that has like a toothache, heal them in Jesus' name, like that. And the service ended. And my daughter came to me, this is my same daughter that we're talking about here. My daughter came to me. I said, Dad. I was like, what's up, babe? She said, do I know that she had a toothache on her left side, or on her right thing? So I said, oh, so that was you? She said, yes. I remember that there was a time as well. Anyway, so that happens. So that's like a mini vision where you can just see things. I remember that there was a time as well I was praying at home, and I just saw a flash of three people from my office. This was one office that they gave me a lot of hassle. And I just saw these three people. And the way I saw them was, that's a different explanation. Anyway, in that mini flash that I saw, these guys were saying some things about me that were not, you know, accurate. I said, no way, these guys love me. They can never say this kind of, you know, these guys can't be saying those kinds of things about me. And God just said, okay, no problem. Just when you get to work today, we will see what will happen. Do you get what I mean? And as I got to work, my boss called me and he said, oh, this, and these are the people that... Do you understand what I mean? Now, I'm not saying it has to be like that all the time, but just many flashes like that, God speaks to us that way as well. Anyway, I'm going to drop this section and go to the last one, and we'll pray. So what am I saying here? I'm saying here that God wants to speak to us for friendship. He wants to speak to us for direction. And the second part I've just looked at is that God speaks to us in different ways. Simply reading your Bible with the expectation that God's going to say something to you, He does so. Do you understand? Now, I'm going to bring this to an end as we look at what I've called... So how do we start this journey? Or how do we continue in this journey? What do we need to do? Nothing really. But there are some pointers that I'm going to give us that would help us along this journey. I'll run through those, then we'll pray. So the first one I want to mention is from Acts chapter 10, verse 34. When Peter went somewhere and he was preaching and there was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter said something there. He said, I'm paraphrasing, wow. Peter said, I most certainly understand that God is not one that shows partiality. But in that context, he was expecting God to speak or to do things in a particular way. And he realized that, wow, all the preconceptions that I had is not necessarily the case. So the first thing that we want to do as individuals is all the ways you think God has, all the things you think you have to do for God to speak to you or to hear God consistently, we need to put those things aside and look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says that God is speaking all the time and He wants to speak to you. So all these dramatic things that we're expecting that you'll be shaking, those things can happen to you. I'm not discrediting, but we need to just put those things aside and believe what the Bible says that God speaks to us already. The same way we want to speak to our children. Number one. Number two. I'll read John chapter 10 and verse 27. John chapter 10 verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. It says, my sheep hear my voice. So God is saying that as you're sitting here, when you go home, wherever you are, God is speaking to you already. And you are hearing God already, but you might not know it's God speaking to you. Do you understand what I mean? God is not saying, God speak to me. He's speaking to you already. It's now how you interpret what He's saying to you. So we need to just have that in mind that God is speaking to us already. And the last part around how do we continue in this journey is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So the last part is this. How do you want to know if it's God that has spoken to you or if it's God speaking to you? By practice. So if you're reading your Bible and you read a verse or something and it jumps out to you and you think God is saying something to you from there, note it. Note it. And see if it happens. If you dream and you know for the dream part, we have to be quite careful. I gave explanation of all those things later and earlier on. You know, for dreams, maybe we'll look at that another time. If it's a dream and you think it's God that has spoken, note it and see if it comes to pass. If it does, then you now realize that, oh, hang on, this is how God speaks to me. Do you understand? So we need to practice by ourselves. Do you understand? And God will help us. So I'm going to end there this morning. So what have we looked at? We've looked at why should we want to hear God's voice? I said for friendship and for direction. The second one we looked at was that God speaks to us in very simple ways, Bible, dreams, or inner vision. And the last thing I looked at was the fact that God wants us to believe that he's speaking to us already and that we're hearing his voice. So this morning, I just want us to stand up and to just pray a bit. You know, we want to just pray simply to God this morning. We've spoken about how God speaks to us. We've spoken about the fact that, like, our nephews, our nieces, our children, the way we are eager to speak with them, God is eager to speak with us that way. God wants to speak to you and I for friendship. He wants to direct you and I. He wants to help you. He doesn't want you and I to go through this life just wondering, just guessing, just trying. He wants to come alongside us. So this morning, we just want to pray that God, help me on my journey to hearing your voice. Help me to hear your voice as I read the Bible. Help me to hear your voice on a daily basis. Let's just ask the Lord that this morning, help us. Father, we just thank you for the simplicity of your word. Father, we thank you because you are speaking to us already. Like our father, like a father or a mother or like an auntie speaking to their children or to their nieces or their nephews. You're speaking to us already. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, who are we? The Bible says that what is man that you're mindful of him? In the billions and billions of people that are on the earth, you still have time for us as individuals. The little things that bother us, the little things that are on our minds, you still have time for them. Father, for this we thank you. So let's just pray that God help me. Help me on this, my journey of really hearing your voice. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray for everyone that is here and even for those that are not here, that even as we have looked at hearing your voice, help us on this journey, deepen our relationship with you. Help us to know that you are there and that you're speaking to us as we go along this journey of life. Help us to hear your voice more and more, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I pray also for everyone that is here or those that are not here that are unwell. Your word says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that by your stripes you have been healed. Your word also says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says that you bore our sicknesses, our infirmities. I speak healing to every single body in the name of Jesus. Father, for those who have pain in their knees, I speak healing to it in the name of Jesus. Father, your word also says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. For anyone that is going through strain in their mind, I speak peace into your mind in the name of Jesus. I speak the peace of God into your mind in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Father, I really thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.